Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. It's time now for Light for the Pathway with W.A. Thompson.
Once again, we greet you in the name of the Lord Jesus, trusting that you are growing in the grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus. If you are not finding things exactly the way you want them to be, how do you respond to that? Are you going into despair, becoming discouraged, and feeling there is no use in even trying? Are you in a hard place? Are there trials? And do you feel as though you're spinning your wheels and getting nowhere and all of your labor is in vain? Well, the Lord tells us to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. You might be praying often, praying regularly, have prayed for a long time for someone, and they still have not come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Been praying for years, so what should you do? Well, we still are here, and the situation is still before us, and the Lord would have us to continue to pray. We would pray and will pray. Seek the face of the Lord. Call upon Him continually, and trust that He will meet the need and answered the prayer. We do not give God a timetable for answering a prayer. He knows our time, and He works in that time that He's given to us. He Himself is the one who has given us all of the grains of sand that are in the hourglass that is affixed to our time. And there is not a grain of sand in that hourglass that is there without God's knowledge. And it is not moving through the neck of the hourglass without His knowledge. So be encouraged to know that the Lord's program is right on schedule. Just be faithful in doing the thing that He has called you to do. I know of a dear man who gives the testimony that his mother prayed for him to be saved. She prayed for years. And he did not get saved even during her lifetime. She left this life with her son unsaved. And she left at God's beckoning call. She didn't decide to die, but the Lord took her when He wanted to. And having taken her, it would appear that her prayer was unanswered. But no, in God's time, this man continued to know the mercies and the grace of God and was brought to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus. And I want to encourage each of you today, as I encourage myself in the Lord, when we pray, something is happening. God is listening. God is working. Because there is nothing that is moving in this universe without God's knowledge. There is nothing existing in this universe without the Lord's knowledge. And so talk to Him, dear Christian. Make your request known unto God. Come boldly before His throne and keep calling out to Him. Don't forsake the way of righteousness and truth because you are looking at the sand in the hourglass and that hourglass happens to be yours. Just be faithful. Keep calling upon the Lord. You remember Lazarus being sick and his two sisters wanting the Lord to come and the disciples wanting Him to hurry, but He took His time. He arrived and raised Lazarus from the dead. There are no impossible situations with the Lord. He would have us to be faithful. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank Thee again today for this time before Thy throne, in Thy work, with Thy people. We ask, Lord, for Thy blessings again. Lord, send to us revival. Stir our hearts and help us to be faithful today. Bless this message. Empower me by Thy grace to minister for Jesus' sake. Amen. In the book of Genesis now, 25, we're coming to the last few verses of this chapter. And then we've looked at the births of Esau and Jacob. In verse 26, after Esau was born, his brother Jacob came out, and as his brother was being moved away, the brother Jacob laid hold of the heel of Esau, and his name is called Jacob. And the name Jacob, as we close on the previous broadcast, means supplanter, one who follows on another's heel. Like an animal would, you've seen, if you've ever seen any of these things on any of the geographic programs or nature scenes, where one animal, a predator, is chasing its prey, and it gets close enough and it smacks the heel or the hind leg of the animal to trip it up, and it falls. We can get an idea of what Jacob was doing as a little baby. The Lord had told them what was going to happen, how these things were going to be. So how the relationship between these two twins, two nations, were in the womb of Rebekah. And here is one who, when he is born, is showing already in his entrance into the world that he is going to fulfill what God has said he would be like. He took hold of Esau's heel to pluck him back, to get out first. And this is what he did. So his name is Jacob, supplanter, heel snatcher. And then Jacob was born. And as he was born, his brother preceded him. There are two distinctive things about these two. Esau was born red, hairy all over, like a garment when he was born. And the thing they noticed about Jacob was that he grabbed his brother's heel. These two things are mentioned about the two. Esau, derivative of the word of Edom, I suppose. He was a hairy one. The name Edom means red, and he had red hair on his body. So the way they were is the names they received. And that was, the name meant a whole lot more in the ancient world. When one named his child, there's a reason for it. Today, people don't generally do that, not many places. Sometimes it is done. But here, these names had a meaning. And here we find also in verse 26 that Isaac was 80 years old when his wife, Rebekah, gave birth to these boys. So 20 years after they had been married, they finally have a child. Now, I wonder what they went through as far as wondering, are we going to ever have a child? Will you ever conceive and bring forth a child, Rebekah? Will we have to now go and do what Abraham had done? The scriptures do not record. There's very little said about Isaac's life, but quite a bit is said about Jacob and Esau, about Jacob, little about Esau, some about Esau. And having been married now for all these years, they do have a child. And Abraham at this time is 160 years old, because if Isaac is 60 and Abraham was 100 when Isaac was born, so it's 160 years old. And now, humanly speaking now, this line, that of Jacob and Esau coming out from Isaac and Rebekah, we would say, humanly speaking now, almost did not come into existence. Now, if we were looking at it only from the human side, but as far as God is concerned, it was definitely going to be. Now, there were tests along the way for Abraham and Sarah. See, Sarah had been taken into the households of two different kings, yet she was protected. And then they had sought an alternate plan, that this promise of being the father of many nations would be fulfilled. And Abraham went on to say, oh, that Ishmael might stand before me. Let him be the one. No, that's not the one. But The Lord kept his program right on schedule. And then the faithful servant went out, and Abraham had him to swear, "You will not bring a daughter unto my son Isaac out of the land of Canaan. You will go back to my own homeland and bring one back." Now, again, that was quite a distance he had to travel. And he could have said, "Well, I think I'll just fix this up and find one that looks good and tell her what to say and how to look and how to dress." No, but he went all the way back and got one and brought her back to Isaac. In verse 27, the boys grew, Esau being a cunning hunter, a man of the field, but Jacob was a plain man dwelling in tents. Notice, these are twins, children born from the same parents on the same day under the same conditions, and yet they're different. I was looking up at a tree the other day, and I thought, that's a big tree, but every leaf on that tree is different. So how do you know? Did you examine every tree? No, I didn't. I didn't examine every leaf on that tree. But, you know, they're different. Snowflakes are different. All different. Never one the same. Conditions do that. And children are different. The look at our bodies, hands and feet, eyes and ears on the same body, different. Fingers on the same hand are different. So why should we expect all of our children to be the same? And that's what happens many times with parents. Why aren't you like your brother? Why aren't you like your sister? Why are you like you are? Why are you so different from everybody else? Everybody else is different from everybody else. That's the reason why. And we must recognize that and consider you yourself. You're different from all of your siblings. Children can eat the same food, go to the same school, and everything else, and yet they're different, different individuals. And there will always be differences. No matter what you do, there will be differences. You cannot make two things exactly alike. You can make them as close as you can, look alike, but there will be differences. And even in these people who are talking about cloning human beings, that these clones, so to speak, and which is a sinful thing to do, will be different. The Lord made us different. And then in verse 28, Isaac loved Esau because he did eat of his venison, but Rebekah loved Jacob. Notice here, parents have favorites. Do you want to admit that? No, you won't deny it. They have a reason for loving their one more than the other. And we are told why Isaac loved Esau, but not why Rebekah loved Jacob. Now, Jacob was the second born. Could it have been that he was weaker, less opinionated, milder child, less likely to roam, and was willing to share a knowledge of his needs and fears and concerns? Was it that she did not have a daughter, and so this one who stayed near the tent would substitute for that? I don't know. But there were favorites in this family, and it's going to definitely cause problems. Dear Heavenly Father, we pray that we would learn what favorites do to a home and how these things interfere and cause problems. Help us to be right and just in our judgment today, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Join us again for another program of Light for the Pathway. I'm Willie Thompson in Greenville, South Carolina. May the Lord bless you.